Triple M Speed Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Yeah, it sure is. It's actually the Saturday best of the past week. Just Dave here introducing you, letting you...
Triple M Speed Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the Best of the Week podcast, Marto and Margo, the Big Breakfast. I hope you're enjoying your Saturday. Wherever you're listening, maybe you're not even actually listening to this on Saturday, whenever you are, appreciate it. You can get in touch with the show anytime. Text Marto's burner phone, 0484 10 1045. You can text questions, comments. We are always like getting some traffic in on the burner phone. Also find us online, Triple M Brisbane. This is just a bit of a selection of some of the best moments from the past week on the show. When did you sink your tinny? That's one of the questions we ask because Margo believes she almost died while out in the boat with her husband, Corey, and their four kids. Speaking of kids, sending them away on camp, we wanted to know what happened when you went on your school camp. And all this week, this past week, we were looking for the worst commute in Brisbane. We called it Triple M's Highway from Hell. We teed up listeners coming in from the north, east, south, and west and found out once and for all who has it the worst. And the results is in this Best Of podcast. So enjoy the Big Breakfast, Marto and Margo. Oh, and by the way, comedian Brett Blake was here with us all week.
Uber's got a new feature, guys. So basically, what you can do instead of their star system, while you're actually in the car, you can do a live update and report your driver if he's running red lights, hitting the brakes.
Talking on his phone.
Basically, what I think this is, this button is just to let Uber know whether your driver has BO. You know what I mean? It's a BO button. I don't know how these guys are so sweaty. They sit down all day in the air conditioning.
No, they don't turn the air conditioning on. That's the problem. The amount of times get into an Uber and they've got no air on, I'm like, mate, any chance we could get some air back here?
As soon as I see him, I go, see that air freshener, boys? Whack that under your armpit, right?
Now, Brett, I know you're new this week and it is Monday and it is early, but we don't normally talk about Uber in the presence of Marto because he's not much of a fan of Uber. Are you, Marto?
Is it 2 years
ago? Do you
want
to tell him?
I think they called it a lifetime ban. There was a banning. There was a suspension for a short while. My son ran into some problems with him and a mate.
Can I guess a few tinnies were involved in this equation?
Not really. It was a sober banning. It was soberish. I'd had two beers, I reckon.
You'll learn. Marto is more angry when he's sober than when he is with a few drinks under his belt.
Wow, I'd never had anyone make that observation.
I worked with you for 12 months very closely.
Okay, there was an incident. Wife and I were in the cab, so it wasn't even a blow up, but it became big, and there's a lifetime. Well, you saw me earlier this morning. I tried to reapply the band still.
You mentioned Uber ratings, you know, the one that you and I have because we travel in Ubers and they, you know, your behaviour. Mine's 4.79.
What was yours?
I was 4.77.
Marto is minus 0,000. 100 band is the word that's beside it.
I've got even a sadder one than that. I've got the fat boy one. I've got the band from Uber Eats.
Oh, how did you
get from Uber Eats? I'm banned from Uber Eats because I complained that I was... And you were giving McDonald's
crap,
but I had no hash browns one day, and the next day I had no garlic naan with my curry. I was like, unacceptable.
Hungry
complaint.
Uber drivers.
Fair enough. Complain and they suspend you or ban you from that. So now you've got to go out and get food like the old days.
It's crazy.
When we go out, Marto, I have to order the Uber for us. And Blake, I'll order the Uber Eats to the studio for you because I'm not banned from Uber or Uber Eats. I'm a good girl.
Whoa. There was something. If we're talking bannings, we're not going down alone here. There was something you took the caravan out. You said. I'm sure there was one day you told me.
No, not allowed to bring that up.
What did you do?
We got banned from a caravan park and I was hoping that they would forget.
I
really want to go back. It was one of those ones out bush and, there was probably 12 caravans and it's like free camping. You can just park anywhere, pull up. So we'd parked in a big, big circle, had a bonfire in the middle. It was epic bush camping, but we may have got complaints about our music being too noisy one night. I think they might have complained three times.
So on the way out the next day, it is you're never coming back.
No, they came down. The owners came down in a golf golf cart and were like, you, all of you are never allowed back here again. We've all got all your regos, your caravan numbers, blah, blah, blah. You're never allowed to come back. And I was like, it's not my fault. It's your fault. I'm allowed to come back. I didn't do anything wrong. I was asleep for some of the night.
Asleep for some of the night. Much of a much.
I think I went after the after second four. Morning. 133353. What? Bannings?
Yeah,
what are
yeah,
you banned,
go banning.
From?
What are you banned from?
We're all banned from something. Uber Eats, Uber. Mm. I'm banned from the caravan park. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want them to know.
Yeah.
I might come back.
I got a mate of mine who's banned from the Caxton Hotel.
That's pretty hard to get banned from.
And it makes life very difficult after a game of footy.
There has been some loose behaviour down there.
During the break, I told you I've got two bans from the Perth Casino, and if you've been there, you know it's pretty hard to do.
Jesus.
I've not been there. Tell me, what did you do?
Oh, I don't think I can explain it on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't counting cards.
What happens at the casino often stay there, apart from when the bouncer next recognises you and won't let you in.
That's the horrible thing. How do they remember what you look like?
I've got a different shirt on.
I reckon they got that face ID technology when you go in.
Like in China.
Now they scan your IDs when you go into places and it comes up with a big black X. Do not let in, like some of our callers.
You can't talk.
133353.
Banned from a caravan park, Mark.
I'm from Regent's Park. What did you get banned from?
Oh, listen.
What a great start. Every good short story should start with that, Graham.
Go, Graham.
I'm banned from company vehicles.
Oh, dear.
What have you done?
I was on my way up the Sunshine Coast in the 110 lane, and there's some bloke sitting right up the back of me, so I flick him a bird. Not thinking I'm labelled all over the outside of the car with the company's name.
God. They complained.
He's gone and rung my boss and says, hey, someone's flicking a bird and they're driving real slow in the fast lane. Now,
If I was the boss, I would have gave you a promotion. That's a great thing.
Well, I've been promoted to a little Barina with no sign writing on it.
A Barina?
Is that your punishment?
You are over the age of 17, aren't you, Graham?
Direct.
Yes. It's got good resale value, so don't worry about the Barina.
That's horrible. We do have a few beauties. We can't get to everyone. We've got to get to the traffic soon. What's Ken got?
Kim from Lota. Good morning.
No. Sorry, we're going to Kim.
Hi.
Oh, Kim.
Kim.
Hi.
Good morning. What have you been banned from?
Pardon me. Also a caravan park, Margo. I won't mention any names, but one of our crew told the night manager that he looked 12 and he should go and get his dad.
Yeah, they like that.
Probably was the night manager's son.
Well, then they proceeded to call ahead to all the other caravan parks in town and they warned us that we may be on our way and no one would let us stay.
Van
on the side of the road and stay in a hotel.
Kim, what was the offence at this original caravan park?
There may have been beverages involved.
And not loud noise and women shrieking?
Well, there probably was a little bit of shrieking, but we haven't been back, unfortunately.
All right, so is there cheap caravan for sale?
No. I broke the caravan a stray day long weekend, so we won't talk about that either.
You broke the caravan. We may ring you back at some stage, Kim.
Keep your number.
Burner phone, no name. I was banned from playing any competitive basketball in the whole state of Queensland for 8 months. Let's just say me and a ref had a disagreement.
Oh, just a small disagreement. A bit like you and your Uber driver, maybe, Marto.
No, that was nothing.
Small disagreement.
Well, what about you in the caravan park? You and Uber Eats. They're always small things in your own mind.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Guys, I was telling you yesterday our story about how we went over to Peel Island on Saturday.
Sunday.
And we ran into a little bit of bad weather.
No raining, they said.
That was us on the way back from Peel Island at about 1:30 and at about, I think it was about 32, 34 knots of wind because we forgot to check Willie's weather before we went out.
Mm. What copped more of a flogging, the hull of the boat or your spine on the way back? It sounded so brutal.
Did you have cushions on the seats?
The cushions on the seats, but I think I came back with two black eyes. I mean, I've concealed it relatively well today, gentlemen. But no, the hull of the boat was just like smack. And we had the tube because we took the tube over with us to do some tubing and Corey had deflated it, rolled it up and put it at the base, you know, the back of the boat. And so the kids and I, who were sitting facing backwards, had our feet pushed in to the tube so as to not fall out of our chairs, that we were sort of on an angle as we came down into the water. It was pretty rough and it was a bit scary. I mean, I was a bit scared, but I was holding on to the kids at one point, just hand across their chest, reassuring them that Daddy knows what he's doing. It's okay. We're safe.
Were they reassuring you?
Yeah, a bit of both. Because they were a bit scared.
Can we put some facts together here? That boat was given to you by one of your...
My dad.
Your dad. Okay. It's a fairly old vessel. You've given a little bit of an update.
I think it's an Easy Rider or something, like a 1976.
As far as I can remember, like, I seem to know its history since you've had it. I've never seen it out of the Broadwater, which is one of the flattest places in southeast Queensland.
That and Moogra Dam, Marto.
Well, Moogra is the second flattest place. Well, it's the flattest.
It's the flattest.
So it's the first time you've been into the
any
bay
sort
properly.
Of open water. Mm. Yeah, it was our first sort of a family adventure, and we were relatively unprepared. I now have found out, because lots of people sending us messages saying, you are idiots. You yesterday said, what are you
check
doing?
The wind.
Why didn't you check the wind? And it wasn't until we realised, when we looked around, that nobody else was still there. It was just us.
Because that's your use to the Broadwater, where wind doesn't bother you.
And we know you had your phone out because you did 47 Instagram posts about it. So just check the weather app. You know?
You're damn lucky, because in those situations, there's so many people actually go up, get capsized, or actually sink boats.
Well, as we were coming in, Marto, the police rescue and the Coast Guard were pulling into the boat ramp to hop in to go and save some people, because they had a few calls over the two-way? Mm. That's in a truck. I don't know if they have them in boats. Mm. We don't have one in our boat. So I was thinking in my head, like, do we have flares? Do we have...
Oh, don't say it out. Don't say it on radio, because that's actually illegal.
Well, I'm sure we do.
You've got to have EPIRB, you've got to have life jackets.
Well, we've got all of that. Like, we've got life jackets and all that, but I'm assuming that that's Corey's job. I just got on the boat. I'm just a passenger here.
Oh, he was the captain. Everyone always blames the captain.
It's his job.
You're the first mate. Lift the game.
1-3-3-5-3.
Hey, what do you want to know?
When did you sink your tinny? I mean, we didn't sink it, but I was preempting that we were going to be water in, the waves were coming over, there was bits of water in the boat.
So you want somebody who might have overturned their tinny or sunk it and was sitting on top of it, or were on an esky. You want people who actually
were you caught unsuspectingly?
Under.
The weather turned on you, and you found yourself in a pretty scary or dangerous position. I mean, I got tagged in heaps of those tinny bashing. There's an Instagram page of blokes overturning their tinnies and crashing into
dickheads.
Stuff.
They're being dickheads. You
well,
were just going
I
about
am
your
too,
business.
That's what happens when you don't check the weather.
Well, you watch. You'll get people ringing in with some of their great stories on how they were stuck out there and capsized and stuff.
Dingo from Caboolture, good morning.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, Dingo, have you sunk your tinny?
Oh, it wasn't a tinny, it was a fiberglass boat. We were going over the bar at Evans Head in northern New South Wales.
Oh, tough one.
Yeah, it's quite some big waves there. Anyway, we were sort of halfway through the bar and we went for some more power and we had nothing and wondered why we weren't going anywhere, and we sort of looked around and the whole transom of the back of the boat was gone, motor, everything.
Uh-oh.
What happened? Did you hit some sand?
No, it was just it was obviously that rotted, it just fell off.
Oh, no.
The motor blew the boat in half. Oh, I love that.
Then what happens? You just get the wave hits you and you just get sideways, rolled over?
It just sunk. We just grabbed the eskies and floated on the eskies.
Oh, classic.
Was there beer in those eskies, mate?
Of course there was.
You're good to go then, brother. Who cares?
So, Dingo, you just floated back into the Evans River there?
No, mate. There was other boats going out at the time, luckily. And, and we heard later that there was tiger sharks spotted in the area.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I loved that. Yesterday, people thought it would be a really great idea after I put a video up of my kids swimming in near Peel Island there. Oh, there's heaps of tiger sharks in there. Don't ever let your kids swim there, because people throw their food and stuff over and fish in there. And there's always heaps of sharks.
It's an in-and-out type experience around there. Jump in, jump out. Who else have we got?
Mark from Wellington Point. Good morning.
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Did you make a mistake like us and not check the weather, and then something really unfortunate happened?
No, it wasn't us. It was the old man brought a boat off the Georgie and Mickey Mull, two brickies we knew, and the deal was they had to use it for one last trip up the Swains.
Oh.
And the old man just got the motor fixed up, and then Sunday morning we're sitting in bed reading the paper on the front page, here's Georgie and Mickey marooned on a coral atoll.
Hey, that's a proper boat if it made it out to Swains Reef.
Yeah. Yeah, so our 5 metre Quintrax swish finder.
Righto.
Down the console.
Dad, had your old man paid for it?
Yeah, paid for it, got the motor all done up, but that was the deal. They had to do one last trip, and that was his surprise on a Sunday morning sitting in bed reading the Sunday paper.
Now, what happened? Did you get your money back? Did he get his dough back?
Yeah, he got the boat back, and Georgie and Mickey fixed up the gearbox. They tore it off, and it went across the coral reef on a wave.
That's the problem. If you don't own the boat anymore, you don't give a stuff, do you?
No, they gave the stuff all right.
Oh, dear. Well, next time I think I'm going to – what any other Facebook page I should be a part of, Marta, or should I just text you? You can be my hotline.
You watch boat disasters and stuff like that. There's some great things that'll make you feel better.
Well, I may feature in one shortly.
Hey, Mark, we're going to give you a double pass to Trip the Switch Festival with Ice House, James Rain, The Angels and more, Saturday the 27th of Feb. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster Mark.
Where at, Dave?
Where at what?
Where's that concert on?
Doesn't say.
Oh,
Trip the Switch Festival. Oh, sounds good, though.
Ipswich somewhere.
Marto might be there in his Terry Towling shorts, his Bunnings apron with his frozen daiquiris.
Whereas, Margo, you'll be back out on the high seas.
I'll be at Peel Island.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Oh, boy, it's a bit of a nerve-wracking morning this morning in the Parker household. My palms are sweaty, my knees are weak. Oh, no, that's an Eminem song, sorry.
Spaghetti.
What? Our eldest son, Wiley, is off on year five camp this morning.
Is he at the broken leg still?
No, he was broken in a moon ankle? Boot for a couple of weeks, and now he's good right? to go. He's self-diagnosed better. He said, I'm good, Mum. I don't need that anymore. I'm happy. I'm good. I'm good to go. I want to play footy, is what he said.
Yeah,
but no, he's off on year five school camp up the Sunshine Coast. Today he'd be right about now, 8:30. The bus is taking off. They had to be there at 8 o'clock this morning with all their bags and their pillows. We spent an hour last night packing, checking, double checking, making sure, going through the list.
Does he wear PJs?
Yeah, I packed two pairs just in case. A summery pair, and then I don't know where they're staying, so I don't know if it's going to be cold and wet and rainy. So I packed a warmer pair in case.
Boys and girls? Mixed?
Boys and girls, yeah. All of year five, the whole cohort. So 100 something kids, maybe, and a couple of teachers, a few parent volunteers, et cetera, and they're off. And I don't mind that they're going off on camp because I think it's a great experience, a great learning experience to, you know, grow outside of the household.
Wednesday night, Thursday night, so just a two-nighter,
three nights, two nights, three days type of thing. And Memphis, our grade six girl, she did this camp last year. So we kind of knew what to expect, you know. But
still
Memphis
a nervous mum?
Still a nervous mum because our eldest daughter, of course, being the eldest daughter, is very responsible, you know, and doesn't do anything wrong. She's a good girl. She's a great helper. Wiley, however, second child, you know, the first one lures you into that false sense of security and comfort, and then the second one just goes bang and just smashes you with all the stuff.
He's the loose unit of
the family, and he's very physically capable and competent. He's a risk taker. I mean, he broke his leg because he did a backflip off a rock climbing wall, you know, no normal kid just does that. You know, you've got to assess a certain amount of risk and then go ahead and jump in feet first, apparently.
So they'll be doing ropes courses and kayaking.
I'm like, you know, be careful, be good, make good choices. You know, you're smart. You know the difference between right and wrong. Don't be led astray. Don't lead anyone astray. Do as you're told. Behave yourself.
Only got another 40 years of saying this to your young son.
But I fear, like, you know, something's going to go down. Well, you know, nothing good happens on camp when you are.
Yeah. Only good things happen
I mean, great things happen on camp, but I feel like something's going to, like, He's going to get up to some mischief.
I have a bad camp story because it was year 10 a little bit later.
It's probably not what we know.
No, this is not going to make you feel better at all. But somehow we mysteriously found a bottle of Jim Beam in the forest. I don't know how that appeared.
Next thing you know,
completely unrelated, all these tents just started spontaneously combusting. Anyway,
on fire?
Yeah. Well, they let us have matches and we had a campfire and someone may or may not allegedly maybe have let a few tents on fire as a practical joke to someone who was sleeping.
God, what happened?
Well, pretty much that. A mate was sleeping and another mate allegedly may or may not have been me lit the side of the tent on fire.
That's attempted murder.
No, he got out. It was funny.
But it's attempted murder.
Okay.
Teacher drove us all home.
Don't incriminate yourself anymore, Margo.
What year was that? How old were you?
Year 10. The teacher teacher next day just drove us all home.
This
camp's
not,
over.
This is not doing anything for my uncomfortability already. 133353. What happened on camp? I mean, I don't want to hear stories about accidentally finding Jim Beam bottles.
Yeah, you get that, Jim. That would have been someone with an older brother would have flogged his Jim Beam bottle or got it hand me down. And that's who causes trouble. Younger brothers of older kids.
John from Kilcoy, 133353. What happened when you went on camp?
It wasn't me. How's it going, guys? It wasn't me. It was my brother.
Oh, what did he do?
So years ago, there used to be a note, go home, can you donate some stuff to go to camp, you know, with the kids? And so mum sent back the form, yeah, I'll cook 3 chooks and I'll send them, before you used to go to Coles.
Yeah.
So my brother's gone off to camp with these 3 chooks in the bottom of his bag so, you know, they didn't fall over or anything.
Yeah.
He's gone all week. Come home in the same clothes, and we thought, oh, he's going to smell. And then we opened the bag up, and it was full of maggots, and the whole lot just went straight to the dog.
He left the chickens in the bag, John.
Yeah, he left the chooks in the bag in the bottom.
Oh, well, that's
right. Let's link that. Why didn't he get changed, use any of his clothes? Because if he went what was he doing?
Who knows? But yeah, he had a ride of a time, and then we had to hose him down and then throw the bag out.
One chook's bad enough, let alone 3 chooks.
You know what happens when kids have their first time away? They get, is it bowel toilet shy? They don't go to the toilet for the whole time they're away from home because they've never been away for that long without their family forget to go, then there's trouble when they get home.
Oh, can't wait for that. Mm. Anthony from Upper Brookfield, good morning.
You destroy toilets.
school camp. I reckon you'd have a good story, Anthony.
Yeah, it wasn't a school camp. It was a scout camp. Up in Maryborough, and one of the activities we were doing was orienteering, and I came across a dope plantation.
Oh, interesting find. Did you know at that stage what it was that you had come across?
Well, I did because I'd seen the leaves on the news.
Righto. Anthony, did you have any papers with you? You always be prepared as a scout.
Stop it, Marto. Whistle him, Dave.
I tried rolling them up in toilet paper, though.
I was going to say, Anthony, have you still got the GPS location? I've got second tour. Let's go down.
Anthony sounds like he still visits Maryborough often. Ed from Acacia Ridge.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, good. Look, no one's easing the nerves that I have about my son going on camp and the shenanigans that happen.
So don't start now, Ed.
What happened?
The terrible story?
Yeah, it was about my son. Year 7, they went to Canberra for a week.
Yeah, standard.
And at 7 o'clock at night, I get a call from the headmaster saying, look, Adam's okay. It's only precautionary. He's in hospital. What happened? He said, well, we went to the snow and they went tobogganing and they said, well, who's done tobogganing before? And Adam put his hand up because we come from Melbourne.
Yeah.
So he was the first one to get on. Down the slope he went, across the car park, over the embankment, down the rocks and into the creek.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's epic.
In the drink.
And? He ended up being a hero in the school. Yeah. No broken bones though. He was very, very lucky.
Oh, sounds like he was on the Jim Beam as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd taken some with him.
Hey Ed, we're going to give you a double pass to go see the Baby Animals 30th Anniversary Tour. Triple M presents Baby Animals 30th Anniversary Tour with special guest Kingswood playing the Triffid Friday, June 25. Tickets on sale now at babyanimals.com.
In this moment, I'd actually like to thank the coronavirus because my daughter was supposed to go on the year 6 Canberra trip this year. It's been cancelled due to COVID.
Oh.
So thank you, coronavirus. I don't have to worry about that Canberra trip this year.
Is it too late for you to go grab Wiley before he gets on the bus?
Don't leave.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Gather around, everybody. Keep it close. Blakey, this is sort of for you, but everyone needs to know it. In 1823, at a place called the Rugby School, northwest of London in Northampton, a guy called William Webb Ellis got sick of playing friggin' soccer. He went, this is boring, it's stupid. He picked up the ball and started running with it and ran all the way to where the goals were and put the ball down and said, what about that? And they said, nice try, and rugby was born.
Is that how it started?
1823. 1823, so it went on there for about 70 years. And then it became very popular, rugby union. They said, what, you're allowed to smash people? This is unreal. So the little kiddies kept on playing soccer. The bigger kiddies started running into people going, how good is this? It was huge, okay? But in about 1897, there was a group of coal miners at the north, around Birmingham, around Manchester. They were loving their rugby union, but they kept on breaking fingers and hurting themselves, couldn't turn up for work in the mine on the Monday. And their union representative said, hold on, this is stupid. You've got to pay this if you want to, you know, you're playing this game on the weekend. Look at all these people who go into the bar. They're at the game. Why can't you start paying these people? And the rugby union, the rugby football union, they said, of England, they said, no, this is a gentleman's sport. And I will quote, well, I've written it down somewhere. If men cannot afford to play, then they shouldn't play at all. And that's what they said. And that's when rugby league was born, 1897, up in the north of England. They said, well, we're going to get our own sport then. And they dropped off two players. 15 became 13. Instead of stupid scrums, they had play the ball after each, you know, instead of having rucks and mauls, they'd play the ball. They made the game faster. Became tremendously exciting. But here in Australia, 1906, 1905, it was still going, rugby union was still the big game, 50,000 people still going to these matches. But there was a guy called Dally Messenger. He was the number one rugby union player in Australia in 1906, 1907. And late 1907, the new game of rugby league said, hold on, grab him and we'll be right. So they started paying rugby. How much time I got, Dave?
You've got 1 minute.
Oh, Jesus. Righto. That's when the game started in Australia. And from there, it just went nuts. Because everyone went, oh, thank God, those rucks and mauls are so boring. Rugby union remained amateur until 1996. My career finished in 1993. Very unfortunate, okay? There was still some sneaky stuff going on, okay?
Cash in hand type business.
Have a bit of this, have a bit of that. But it stayed amateur until now. So over the years, what's happened? I was playing for the Wallabies 1 year when seven Wallabies went to rugby league in 1 year. It used to happen every year, three Wallabies. Rugby league would just go, do you want some money? 1 year I got offered money by the Penrith Panthers. Gus Gould took over and didn't want me. Anyway, that's a side story, another story for another day. Oh, where are we now? Okay. So over the years, rugby league has stolen rugby union players, and it's been fine because they got rewarded for it. It's only since 1996 that rugby union has grabbed back some rugby league players, want him, and it's mainly been wingers. All right, everyone with me?
I'm with you.
So Melbourne Storm won the grand final last year. Their star winger, Vunivalu. Rugby union, because he's a Fijian boy, played rugby as a kid. He's decided he wanted to come back to rugby union. And you go, wow. He's played in the Melbourne Storm competition. He's a wonderful young man, full of good culture, etc. And you go, this is going to be tremendous. But before one match has even been played on the weekend, or this Friday night, the first match, okay? And you think, what has rugby league taught this young man, Vunivalu, to bring back to rugby? What is he going to bring?
Suliasi Vunivalu joined his Reds teammates for training tonight after being charged with common assault. The Reds standing by their star signing, saying this incident hasn't damaged the team
culture. Everything that it did for rugby league, and that's how we get paid back.
That was unbelievable. And that was the first edition of First Thought on
Sport. Now I know why you hate Phil Gould so much.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Breakfast. Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30. From hell, who has the worst commute in Brisbane?
Righto, we've been talking about clog roads nearly every day in the last month or so, and we thought, let's find out who's got it worst in Brisbane, north, south, east or west, and we started the great race at about 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, and we heard from Caroline and Eileen. They were our first two contestants to make their way to King Wally at Suncorp, and
Was it Eileen? Eileen from Cleveland, 58 minutes.
Caroline from Stapleton?
62 minutes it took her, so okay. They were... Well, in the normal world, you'd say first and second, but last and second last, because we were looking for the slowest route. And that left us with Mitch coming in from Caboolture, and we had Chris coming in from Yamanto, so the north and west routes.
Yes, and I hear that it was neck and neck. Mm. There was only moments in between the second slowest and slowest time. We're going to go down to Suncorp Stadium now and find out who had the slowest commute this morning in our highway to hell? Who have we got there?
It's Chris here from Ipswich.
We have
the West. The West is the slowest.
The Western Corridor.
The West is the best.
73 minutes. Mitch took 71 coming in from Caboolture. Okay. So the Western route. What was it like, Chris? Any hold-ups?
I tell you what, my sat-nav was telling me 50 minutes, but obviously it was a lot longer than that. Mm. Centenary Motorway is a nightmare for everyone on the Centenary Motorway.
What, as soon as you get onto it? As soon as you turn left off the Ipswich Motorway, is it slowed down?
Yeah, most days, but not today. I think some of the tradies took a holiday today, but it wasn't as bad. But yeah, you're still down to 5 or 10 Ks and things like that today.
Yeah.
Then my sat-nav told me to take a quick route off around to Moggill because it was congested on Centenary.
No.
Did that, and then Coro Drive. Well,
Coro Drive is Coro Drive.
Well, that's right. And then shoot around. It was good.
Chris, you are our winner today of our Highway to Hell, our social experiment. 73 minutes from the Western Corridor is the worst commute on Brisbane roads today.
And by winner, we sort of mean loser because you took the longest to get there. Let's go through it one more time. So the least worst is from the east. That took 58 minutes.
From Cleveland, and then Caroline coming from Stapledon from up the south. M1. And then Mitch coming down the Bruce Highway. And then the slowest, Chris from your man, came from your man.
So if you live in the West, you might want to move if you want a better commute. Chris, congratulations. You've scored a $500 free fuel voucher.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
What sort of money would you spend on fuel normally, Chris?
Well, I can go upwards of, almost $100 a week because I'm a mobile personal trainer, so I do get around. So that'll go a long way. That's at least 5 weeks worth.
Good job.
4 weeks with a bit of a holiday.
It helps a little.
It's all thanks to the guys at the BNE Service Centre. Fuel up and fill up at the BNE Service Centre just off Airport Drive at Brisbane Airport. And when you get a chance to fully escape the traffic and go on holiday, we're giving you up to 2 weeks free parking at the airport. All thanks to Brisbane Airport Parking.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town. Triple M.